everybody. Welcome to the River Valley Podcast. My name is Kirk Graham. I'm here with Pastor Logan Ketterling.
Hello.
How you doing, my man?
Doing great.
Had a good week?
Oh, yeah. Had a great week. We got to spend a little bit of time at a pastor's conference, just one day, down in Houston. There's 3,000 Assemblies of God pastors that are at this conference. And so it was awesome to be there. My dad and I got to do a breakout. We both got to connect with people. The River Valley Network had a booth. So that was really great. And now we're back here in Minnesota.
Yeah, that event is called Church Multiplication Network Conference. And CMN is a Kingdom Builders partner also. So if you're giving to Kingdom Builders, you're helping plant Assemblies of God churches around the country. And that's a great pastor's gathering. There was hundreds of people in your guys' breakout learning how to do Kingdom Builders. 10 keys to Kingdom Builders.
Yep, that was
and
the title.
Up there with Pastor Rob. And I thought it was awesome. Love that our team is connecting with as many churches as possible. I had great conversations with people that have been deeply impacted by, not the River Valley podcast, but by talking church, because they're pastors. They're learning, like, how does River Valley do church, ministry, all that. And I mean, one guy was crying that he's been so deeply impacted by that as a resource. And so, love that we got to be down there. This last weekend, I visited Faribault. On Sundays, I'm on rotation. I loved being down with the Faribault campus, and I rode in the elevator.
Oh,
and
praise God.
That doesn't mean much to many, but to the Faribault campus, that was a huge win last year, raising funds to get an elevator to be able to serve those with disabilities or handicap, to be able to get from the upstairs down to the downstairs without having to go outside the building in the middle of winter. So I actually rode in the elevator, and when I got there, they were like, you have to ride in it. I was like, all right, dude, let's do it.
We didn't get this thing just to sit and collect dust.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it is a well-oiled machine. It works great. And no, in all seriousness, I actually love being at Faribault and seeing that. That was the first launch in a multi-site a long time ago. Pastor Mark's been there now almost 15 years.
And wow.
The campus, 15 years? The worship culture's strong. The volunteers are amazing. The congregation's amazing. So really happy to be down there. Pastor Rob talked on favor this weekend. Favor ain't fair. And we kind of wrapped up essentially the three major focuses of vision this year. Pastor Rob wanted to do it as early as he could in the year, and talked about daily salvations, which I'm hearing more and more testimonies of people getting saved outside of the church. Actually, on the plane last night coming home, I was two rows away from Pastor Rob, and I heard him telling his seatmate, you know, the person sitting next to him, I heard him telling this person all about our church, all that God was doing, like total witnessing moment. So our lead pastor is out there witnessing to people that are on the plane. You know, I love it. So
come on.
And if he's doing it, I'm doing it, you're doing it, we're all doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was at Lakeville. Love just how the campus has launched so strong. And Pastor Jordan's doing a great job, and the team there, and just people are bought in and excited, and talk to people that were listening to the River Valley podcast. So love that people are leaning in and listening. We did get quite a few questions this week.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know that we'll get to all of them, but maybe we can get to a few. Which ones did you get? I got a few on my list.
Well, here, let me read this one. And I thought this was a great question. This person says, Kirk, podcast question: with the yearly business meeting coming up, which we do have the annual business meeting this Saturday, I'd like to know, who are the decision makers at River Valley for what groups make Kingdom Builders? So how does the Kingdom Builders list get decided? And another question attached to that: where do we pick new building sites? So maybe that's like new campuses. How do we decide that? And then also, who's the decision maker in the hiring and firing for the church? Is that all Pastor Rob? Is it the elder board, or is it a devolved campus decision?
The last question is definitely not all Pastor Rob.
I know. Yeah. Do you want to jump into just initial response on some of that? Otherwise I can take it. But
I mean, Yeah, I mean, I think for starting at the end of that question, the hiring and firing of people on the team. I mean, in ministry, we actually did a podcast episode, my dad and I did it last year,
yep,
called Hiring and Firing in Ministry. So if you're interested in learning about that, yep, that is a Talking Church episode. But there's about 150 employees a part of River Valley, yep, you know, part-time and full-time. And that's like, oh my goodness, that's a lot. With 11 locations and our central ministries, you know, it is a lot, but they're spread out. So the campuses are involved. If they're hiring someone on their team, the campus pastor and the associate campus pastor, if they have one, they're overseeing that, as well as the central ministry lead of that area. So if it's a kids team worker or kids pastor, if they're credentialed, Andrew Sneed, who oversees kids, as well as that campus, will kind of tag team that effort.
Yep.
It's not Pastor Rob. I mean, it's funny. We actually just hired somebody from the church we were at in Texas.
Yep.
And when we got there, the pastor there goes, oh, you just hired somebody from our team. And he's like, oh, I didn't know that. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And you may be like, well, how did he not know? Well, he's not involved in that decision. And we're happy that she's on the team.
Yep.
But yeah, that's typically the process. And then we do multiple interviews with different people on the team. But those two people specifically, the central department lead and then the campus pastor or associate campus pastor, would be the leaders in terms of that. I know there were a couple other questions in that question.
Well, and you did say multiple interviews, but also we will usually open up the job and allow anybody to apply. So it's not just like a private process, but people can submit their names. Sometimes,
that's actually how she found it. Was,
oh yeah, yeah, she just applied.
Yeah.
There are certain select times where it's very clear because of who's leading the campus or the ministry or whatever, that this person's been raised up for the position and they're ready. And so there is an opportunity to be appointed in that. But that's a little bit more about the hiring process. It's not all Pastor Rob. One of the questions that was asked is who makes the list for Kingdom Builders? Mm-hmm. And I will say Pastor Rob is definitely more involved in that decision making, but it's not solely him. Justin Mack oversees Kingdom Builders and Global, and there's a Kingdom Builders team that helps create all the different nonprofits, missionaries, projects that we need to raise money for, because they've been longstanding partners, all of that. And so usually annually it's a long list going through, okay, what's the goal that we have this year? How much money are we going to raise as a church that we're going to be able to give away? And then Pastor Rob sees that list and kind of works through it one by one. You know, where's this project at? Where's this partner at? How did they do last year? How are they stewarding the funds that we've given? But there's a lot of new names that are added to the list every single year because we're growing in our generosity and the number's growing, the list is growing. And I do know that Pastor Justin Mack has developed kind of a filter that helps us determine whether or not a partner is a good partner. And so there's an application process. If a nonprofit wants to be a part of Kingdom Builders or a missionary wants to be a part of Kingdom Builders, there's an application that they can actually fill out and go through that filtering process to help us determine, is this going to be a good Kingdom Builders partner?
I actually have the rubric right in front of me because I have it in my backpack because we teach this at our Generosity Accelerator. We call it the partner rubric. So this is how we choose. And there's obviously other factors, but we actually have a scoring system of 0 to 24. And so basically the first question is, what is our relationship with them? You know, 0 is we don't know them at all. 3 points is we really know them well. Second one is, does their vision align? Is their DNA aligned with us? And 0 points would be unclear or unsure of the vision. Number 3 would be big vision, similar strategy and philosophy of our church. The next one is ministry affiliation. Are they independent? Do they have any covering? They're not known. Or number 3 is, are they from our church? Do they have a relationship? Are they connected? Are they affiliated with our movement? And then a continuous years of service, the 0 to 10 plus. Church involvement, are we able to send teams to them? Because we want to get people from our church involved in the ministry.
Yep.
If we can't, it's 0. And if we can send multiple teams a year, then it's a 3. We want to get our church to see it, which is funny because a lot of people feel like, and I know our church, I think, is not that, but they're like, well, do you want to do things that only you see? Look at this. This is on our list. We want you to see what we're doing. And that is a value of ours. If we can send people from our church to go see what it is, that's even better vetting. Is it now we have other people and we get to see their reaction to the ministry and get to vet it that way. Another one is mission field. If there's not strong missions representation, it's a zero. But if there's strong missions representation. So if there's a bunch of missionaries already there, if there's a great church presence, it's less on us. But if there's no known missionaries there, then it's high on the priority list. The last two here, what is the ministry focus? Is it just administrative or just doing humanitarian need? It's going to be lower. But if it's also doing church planting and helping people in ministry, again, in addition to their humanitarian need, we want to focus church planting because we believe the local church is the hope of the world. And then the last one, there is an intangible component to if it's like, I don't know what it is. I just feel in my spirit, I feel like it just doesn't feel great. It's going to be a zero. But if we say, I can't explain it, it is unbelievable. It's going to get three there. But a lot of people decide just off that intangible.
Yep.
And I think that's why the question was asked. Like, do you just decide off like it feels good? Hey, that is a consideration because we have to, but that's only one of the sections here. And then after that, just because it scores high doesn't mean we're going to fund it. From there, we see, okay, now what is their ministry need? What is their ask? And some projects, you know, get funded in $10,000 or $25,000. And there's other projects that get $500,000 or $1 million. But we want to fund things based upon the organization, stewarding, all that. So hopefully that helps in terms of
It is a great question, and it's a great thing for the congregation to have a better understanding of. Just there is transparency. There's a great process, and we're stewarding the dollars really well. And I'm happy that my Kingdom Builders dollars are stewarded that way. So thrilled about it. The third part of that question, just real quick, was how do we determine new locations? And, you know, Pastor Rob, he had it in his heart, you know, 20-minute drive times across the Twin Cities. If we could cover that really feels like we have enough locations. And so we currently have 11 locations around the Twin Cities, and really Pastor Rob's kind of identified one more area potentially that we could expand to, kind of in the White Bear Lake area of the Twin Cities. I think there is the potential for more, you know, expanding outside of the Twin Cities. The way that we've done that in the past is looking at who's currently attending our church, driving longer than 20 minutes? Where do they live? Is that a growing community? Is that a place that does not have spirit-filled church, vibrant spirit-filled church that's mission sending? So kind of looking at that data, but the heart was to cover the Twin Cities with 20-minute drive times, and we are awfully close.
Yeah,
now
we are.
We've launched Lakeville for the most part.
We are awfully close, and I think that, you know, even something that there's a vacuum going by. I don't know if people can hear that in the mics, but there's some amazing churches in like the Spring Lake Park area, you know, Emmanuel Christian Center, Substance, Eagle Brook has a campus there, Creative Church has a campus there, and they're all within like 6-7 minutes of each other.
Yeah.
And so for us, like, we feel like we probably don't need to plant a church, a campus in Spring Lake Park area, you know, because there's already great churches that we love and are similar stylistically to us.
Yep.
So we're not like, we're going to go right in the middle. For those who are curious, you know, sometimes people in the church, they're working in the business world. And so they're like, are you going to go take their territory? We're like, no, like, we don't want to take their territory. If there's room for us, we want to go there.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's not a territorial battle for sure.
No, it's all good. And I think the other part of expansion, just for the church to know, it's in Pastor Rob's heart to see us grow outside of Minnesota as well. So
yeah,
to just believe for churches that might want to become a part of River Valley, just like Vancouver just did. But then also separate from that is, are we raising up future lead pastors that could go out and lead River Valley, Orlando, River Valley, Fort Myers, River Valley, Denver, River Valley?
Right,
you know.
Right.
River Valley, Austin. I was just, we were down in Texas, I flew into Austin and I was like, man, this is a super cool city. So I don't know.
When I was in Austin, Texas, we were just on vacation and I told them I was from Minneapolis and they said, oh, the Austin of the North. And I was like, is that a thing?
People
like,
say that?
They're like, oh yeah, like we know, like Minneapolis is very similar to us.
Maybe we need an Austin, Texas location.
Yeah. Come on.
Anyways, just dreaming.
Question I got was, how do you... worship if there's a song that you struggle with the lyrics to? And the question that was brought up.
Did you ask this question?
No, I didn't. I didn't. But I
you would
Kirk,
ask this
Kirk
question.
Is asking because he knows that there's a couple of songs that I'm questionable. Not songs our team's written, but the question that they asked was the Elevation song that I love this song, but I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. And the question was, and that's why I trust him. They brought up, they said, I don't trust the Lord because he answered my prayer. I trust the Lord because
he's trustworthy,
you know? Yeah. And so I think there's a couple of responses. I don't know, Kirk, if you want to jump in, I have a thought, but I'd love to hear your fresh thought since I just sprung this one on you.
Do you want me to dial in on that song or do you want me to dial in on just how to worship through it?
Why don't you do the how to worship through either way and then I'll maybe touch on the song.
Well, there are certain songs that, you know, we'll get to the point in the song that I would choose not to sing those lyrics, to be honest. So there's a song that both you and I have talked about where it's, what are the lyrics? Throwing away all my tradition, throw away all my religion.
Yeah, your way is better, yeah.
Your way is better.
Which I agree with the last part.
I grew up in a great tradition, and I grew up, you know, I am a Christian. You know, I'm not throwing away my religion, and I'm not deconstructing. But I'm standing on the foundation. And I'm not saying I was raised perfectly. I'm not saying that everything was correct or always healthy. I'm just saying that that's something that I just don't enjoy. I don't know. For me, I kind of opt out in that moment. I'm not opting out of worshiping.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just not saying I'll have my hands raised. And a lot of times in worship anyways, I'm praying in the spirit. So
yeah.
It doesn't bother me, and it doesn't affect my worship, doesn't affect my ability to connect with God even in that moment. And I'm not saying that that's a bad song. I'm just, for me, not to call myself a mature believer, but as somebody that is more mature in their faith, you can continue to worship God and not let that like aggravate you too much. So, yeah, I would say the songs are a tool. But I don't need them.
Right.
I'm going to worship God.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I think the same is true. And I think if you're not going to sing lyrics to a song, on one hand, you say, I'm getting out of unity with the corporate worship that is scriptural.
And I'm not protesting.
But, no.
I'm sitting this one out. I'm going to sit down. No, I'm continuing to worship.
Yes.
But for me, I'm not throwing away my religion or tradition.
That song specifically, I struggle with that bridge. I usually don't sing it. The one time that I was like really getting agitated by it, I kind of got in my head and I'm like, all right, let's say, and I have no idea how the song was written, but I'm like, let's say this was written from the perspective of a Pharisee who was overly religious, and they're saying, I'm laying down my religion and tradition that was my idol, and I'm committing myself to the way of the Lord. I'm like, if that was the story, you know what? I can do that. But I'm like, for me, I don't want to lay down my religion. I don't want to lay down my tradition that's good. I want to lay down my tradition that's bad. And that's why I joke with people. I'm like, if you just change two words, like lay down my like unfound religion or my like unsound religion or something, you know, something, not all of it, but anyways, this song specifically, you know,
you should be a songwriter.
It's funny. I'm actually going to write right after this with Noe, but with the, I Sought the Lord, I think that I understand 100%. Sam and Sana asked this question. Love them. They're amazing. I understand the, and that's why I trust him, struggling, because you're like, no, I don't trust you because of what you've done for me. I will say this though, but if you read the Old Testament, who do they say their God is? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The reason they're saying this is to say, look at what he's done. He's trustworthy. This is who our God is. And so in this situation, again, I actually know some of the people involved in Elevation and worship. I haven't texted and asked, you know, like, well, hey, what'd you write the song about? But on one hand, you could say, no, it's a self-serving lyric. But on the other hand, you go, no, why do I trust God? Because of his word and because he has done this, he is worthy of trusting. It's not necessarily what he's done in my life, although I understand how that could be interpreted. There is a track record of trustworthiness that you see in scripture that God is trying to iterate to us.
Yep.
And say, look, I am worth trusting. I've done it before, and I'll do it again. The problem, again, which is I think where they felt a little bit of the agitation in their spirit, the problem is if we only trust him because of what he does for us, and because if he answers our prayers and we're testing him in that way, then it's wrong. But if we're saying, look at what you've done. I believe in the miracles that have happened, even if they're not in my own life, but that they've happened in other people's life, that they've happened in scriptures. You are trustworthy. I trust you because of your word. I trust you because of what you've done. I trust you because I know you have the power to do it, even if you don't do it in my life.
Yep.
I think it's okay to sing. But again, if you're like, I don't want to make this selfish, worship God how you want to worship.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's my
thought. And I think songwriting is an art, and there's poetry to it. And I don't sing those specific lyrics saying that's the only reason why I trust you. I sing it from the perspective of that is one of the reasons why I do trust you, is because you are trustworthy.
Right.
And you have answered prayer after prayer. You've heard me. I am singing about an aspect of who he is, that he hears us, he provides, he answers, he responds, he delivers. His name is He's Deliverer. Right. I do trust him because he's a deliverer.
Right.
I do trust him because he's answered. And not just answered a small little need, but he's answered me in my sin. You know, so I think I can put my mind there,
right,
and worship authentically. But I understand the tension.
Totally. Do you have other questions that you got? Otherwise I'll
nope. Keep, you can keep them going.
Keep rolling on this one. My phone just quit on me, so now I got to pull up my sheet again. Oh, here! Wow, dang! There are so many questions. So many questions.
I love that people are asking questions. Well,
is Pastor Rob retiring to lead other churches?
You can answer that.
For all I know, no. unless that has changed in the last 12 hours. He has both the call. I think I understand the question because we talk about how he goes out. I mean, he's still preaching. 30,
we started this episode talking about it.
Yeah, training 30. I think he'll preach 30 times, 32 times this year, which is a lot for those who are interested. Yep. That's a lot of times. He has the ability. I mean, he has so much energy. We've talked about it on the podcast before. He has so much energy to lead both here locally and globally. So he is going to get, like, he's going to give a lot of energy and effort into building the global church. And that's something that he's had to, our board has had to accept, and our church has had to accept, that he is somebody who has this call around the world. But he is, I mean, you know, you're close to him. He loves the local church. He loves River Valley. He just comes alive whenever he is at any of our campuses, and he's here virtually every weekend. I think he's going to only miss like 5-6 weekends, you know, even when he's not preaching, he's around. Yep. And at campuses. And so he's involved. He is a local church guy. He is not planning to retire anytime soon. He's here for many more years to come. And I mean, he's 58, I think, and he's got the energy of a 35-year-old, you know, so
I agree, and that's also my understanding. I'll answer it this way, just adding to your response. I do think that we're going to have more Vancouver-type locations that are led by lead pastors with live preaching, and that happening around the country and potentially around the world. And Pastor Rob will be that, whatever, you know, you know, some people are called like global lead pastors. Pastor Rob will lead all of our campuses and all of those River Valley churches, and is kind of a father figure to all of our network churches as well.
Right.
So in some senses, he's already doing that, and there's more to come.
Yeah, and some people are just graced to do more things. Like he can do more than I can do right now. The way his level of leadership, his level of energy, he's able to do more. But your capacity grows as a leader. The more you stretch it, the more you work it out, the more crises he's been through. I mean, the amount of crises he's lived through in this church alone, just this church, let alone the other churches he's been a part of. I mean, he could teach session after session. Those things grow you and they break you down and they build you up and they give you more capacity. And so for those who have gone through a difficulty, they've lost a loved one too young, they've have a child with a disability, they have things that weren't a part of their plan, it stretches you and gives you a new capacity so that you can lead at a different level that you were maybe weren't graced for before that. But that trial, that challenge, that struggle, and you've growing through it, you know, he teaches a sermon called The Struggle Makes You Stronger.
Yep.
And it's
what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That was pretty good, actually.
It was very good. Very good. We might as well just jump into the song right now. But yeah, he's around. He's here. And we love that he's serving this church and the global church around the world. He wants as many people to go to heaven as possible here in the Twin Cities and around the world. So I love for us to get to prayer. And then we'll close with a song as we always do. Not that song that Kirk just...
Not that song. But you can bring that into your songwriting session later. Just playing.
Here's a few prayer requests from the app. Prayers for my coworker's wife, Dawn, who's been in the hospital for months, given a small chance to survive, praying a miracle for her in Jesus' name. Spencer said, praying for motivated volunteers. Amen. Amen. To spread the word of God all across. Britt, pray for Haiti. I have a close friend who has family there, praying for their safety. Tara says, pray that God would show me direction and path in ministry, where he wants me to move, and my heart is to be a blessing to others. Lord, direct my steps. And we are praying for all those families in our church. There's so many that I could list and go through. I know I've read through all of them and maybe said your name wrong throughout the years, but we are praying for you. There's probably 100 families that we're praying for just this week alone, and we're just so grateful for all those incredible families from all the different campuses. I'm just going
to... Yeah, and I'll encourage people right now to hop on the River Valley app and put in a prayer request.
Yeah.
Because we'd love to pray for you and want to know what those needs are. You can fill out a prayer request card every weekend as well. But the app is there every single day, and it allows not just for the staff to be praying, but for other church members to also be praying. So... We want to pray for you.
I'm just going to read just a few names really quick. We're praying for the Tuckers, the Lunks, the Comlanvies, Wilsons, Williams, Navas, Bowmans, Petersons, Bertzers, McClearys, Lobel, Sandbergs, Walshes, Esons, Adams, Petersons, Belogans, Osborns, Summers, Mayfield, Scotts, Petersons, Persouds, Olatoy, McCullough, Jones, Gustafsons, Connors, Leaders, Loftnesses, Sodals, Petersons, Regies, Waters, Bakolovs, Akins, Bridensteins, Michelsons. There are so many more, but we are praying for you, your families, your children. We are praying that God would have favor on your life in Jesus' name.
Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for all of these people, and we pray over their needs that you do a miracle in their life, and it's a privilege to pray for them. And even though I don't know every situation and every need, you see them all and you know them. And genuinely, I believe in this moment of prayer with the people that are listening to this podcast, that you, just thinking about those song lyrics, you hear it and you will answer it. And we do trust you, Lord. So we put our trust in you. We put these needs in your hands. We give them to you, and we ask that you'd meet these needs, not just in eternity and in heaven, but right now in the name of Jesus. Send it from heaven to earth, healing and provision and comfort and restoration, and new life and new dreams and new vision. Lord, we just ask that you'd pour it out over our church, a blessing over this church. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You've come here to work.
River Valley Podcast. It would help us out a ton if you could rate and review this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and also share it with somebody. We hope that this isn't just for people in our church. We hope that this is people far beyond that, but we know that people in our church maybe don't even know about it yet. We're talking about it on the weekends. We're sharing it in announcements, but maybe you're a listener, but someone in your small group isn't, or someone at your campus. So would you send it to them, share it with them so that they can receive this, and then rate it wherever you listen so that more people can find this podcast.
If you have questions about faith, about church, about belief, about theology, about the Bible, please submit your questions. You can find us on Instagram at RiverValleyMN. You can also email us, finding us on our website, rivervalley.org. Please, we want to hear your questions so that we can continue to answer those or at least respond to them here on the podcast. And again, thank you for listening. We'll see you in church this weekend.